The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Let's move on and let's take Sunday service. You know what I think we actually need right now? I think we need a priest, and luckily we have one on hand. Father Joe MacDonald, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan. No pressure at all.
There you go. Now, listen, you've done a reality show where you were paired up with a drag queen, funnily enough. We'll talk about that in a while. But listen, the pandemic, as they say, is pressing fast forward on history for a lot of things. And I know you feel the church is going to change now, too. Just before we come to that, though, did you hear Rory O'Neill there?
Yeah, I didn't hear it all, but I heard bits of it. Yeah,
but do you get the gist of what he's saying? Yes. Is that something you think is a big issue going on out there with people? This despair, really?
Yes, I think Rory articulated it brilliantly, as he always does. And I think that the big, big thing, unfortunately, that's coming is a tsunami of mental health. I suppose I'm interested in spiritual health. I think people are, and I think they have gritted their teeth and hung on tight, in a sense, to get through it. But I think when we get through it, as we will, I think that's when we'll experience just how awful it has been for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's that image that's used sometimes in general of that wily coyote has run off the edge of the cliff and he's standing there in midair, but he's going to fall at some stage. Spiritual health is an interesting thing, because I suppose mental health, when we talk about mental health, what we mean really is kind of spiritual health in lots of cases, isn't it? In terms of, has the church been a good help to people in all of this, do you think?
Yeah, I think they've tried, Brendan. You know, I mean, for me, I was amazed at how the online thing took off. And we developed a program here called the Pandemic Pilgrimage. And I'm amazed, you know, you'd have the regular people who you would see in church, but it has reached a whole range of people, some of them who have been out of work and at home. And, you know, I was joking there's a piece in the Sunday World about this today, but I was telling the world the little anecdote where this lady was telling me that her son, who's out of work, and he's in his 40s, and he said to her one morning, "Oh, please don't tell me you're listening to that priest again." And she said, "Well, you sit down here and you might learn something." And he's become one of my regular texters. You know, he tunes in. Now, he doesn't always text me to say he agrees with what he said. Sometimes he said, "You were talking baloney this morning. I wouldn't agree with half of it." But he has engaged. So the online thing, Brendan, has taken off amazingly.
Joe, in the way that so many businesses have pivoted online now, do you think, in a sense, is there something in the church pivoting online and maybe going to meet the people where they are rather than having these big austere buildings where the people come and listen to the priest?
Well, definitely, Brendan. I mean, you know, and I heard your panel earlier, and, you know, I get this thing. People have this phrase about returning to normal. And so I don't want to return at all. I mean, I'm resisting. You know, I want to get out of the pandemic. I'm not suggesting for a moment that it's good, but it has provided us with an opportunity. And just what you've said. Now, look, people will say, particularly priests and in church, people will say, "Oh, it's no substitute for the real thing of gathering and, you know, particularly the idea of receiving Holy Communion." I get all that. But for me, moving forward, Brendan, the online bit will remain part of it. Some, you know, maybe a day a week or something, because there are people who have said to me, "Father, it would no harm to you if you were open in the morning. We're not coming back," you know, because there are people there who just are nervous. And the other thing about it is, Brendan, we've developed this whole thing of the domestic church, or what I call Mass at the kitchen table. And that really suits lots of people.
Now, tell us about that.
Well, like, for example, I've started this new thing. I don't want to bore you or the listeners with it. I have sort of this vision of a thing called the Ron Cali community, which is basically a dream I have had about renewal and reform of the church. But we have a program in place now, and I hope to move into new premises. Well, it's an old convent that belonged to the Holy Faith Sisters, and sell these two big houses. I'm living in a place here, Brendan. If you saw it, it's like Downton Abbey without the staff, I might add.
Rattling around on your own there.
Yes, but it's huge, you know, and there is, seriously, I mean, I joke about it, and it was a lovely house to be in the lockdown, but you couldn't justify it, you know, you can't. And one of my first experiences here in Selbridge was a senior girl in St. Woolston's, and I never forget it, and she said to me, you know, Father, you gave a great sermon on homelessness on Sunday, and I was very inspired, but she says, it sounds a bit hollow living where you're living. And she was spot on, you know, 100%. So anyway, to just say to you about the online thing.
So are you getting, hang on, are you getting rid of the house?
Well, I'm hoping and praying. I haven't met the new Archbishop yet. So there's new, you probably know, we have a new leader in Dublin. Dermot Farrell, and I'm excited about that. The plan with the previous administration was, yeah, we sell this big house, and it's a beautiful house, and another house beside us, which is not a small house either, but it's more modern, and that we have bought, or we're in the process of finalising buying, the Holy Faith Convent, which I hope to move into and develop a community of women and men, lay, religious and clerical, and try and do something new in the church around the renewal and reform of the church.
Okay, so hang on a minute. Are you setting up is this a kind of a sect within the church, or how is it working?
Yeah, definitely, Brendan. Thanks. Yeah, it's a breakaway group. Yeah, yeah, Joe Luther. No, definitely not. No, it's not. But it's a way of trying to do church differently. Let me give you this example. In the present model, which is very hierarchical, the priest is at the top of the table. In my view of this, I want to move to a place where, yeah, the priest will be at the table, but he won't be at the top of it. At the top of the table, hopefully, will be a lay woman, a committed lay woman who will lead it. Now, not a token woman, obviously, but I believe the future of the church is lay-led, because we're not going to have the priests. We don't have them. And not only will it be lay-led, but I hope will be lay woman-led.
And Joe, is this allowed, or are the church okay on board with this?
Yeah, well, I got.
Or am I asking you awkward questions here?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I know, not at all. No, I mean, I'm happy to talk. Dermot Martin gave me great support with it. Now, I think we moved very slowly, and it wasn't his fault that the pandemic hit and so on. I don't want to preempt what the new Archbishop will say, but I would believe he'll be, in broad terms, supportive to give me a chance at it. In actual fact, Brendan, you know, it's done out of love for the church. I mean, I have that peculiar relationship with the church and a great ambivalence, because I see it as a church that is guilty of such abusive dysfunctionality and dreadful stuff. And yet it's the church I continue to love. You know, sometimes when people hear me, they say, God, if you're feeling that bad about it, get out. Like, I'm not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah. And tell me, just to go back to the boring detail now, would the lay people live there with clerics in community, yes?
Yeah, I have had two experiences of something a little bit similar. One was in Amos, the retreat centre in Swords. And then I visited Thésée in the south of France years ago. So this is not totally unique, but the idea, Brendan, would be we'd have a core group of four or five, and then a sort of another group of four or five. They'd be the satellite members. If you were a satellite member, Brendan, you wouldn't live there, but you'd join us every day from your own home, or 3 or 4 days a week for key exercises. Like, for example, the two pivotal moments are 6:30 this morning. I celebrated the dawn mass, and it'll go to 5:30 now once Easter Sunday comes. So that's the kickoff point in the week, the risen Jesus. The other key point is 3:00 on a Friday afternoon. We gather around the cross. And one of the things we do gather around the cross, by the way, is we try and bring atonement for the sins of the church. So people are very familiar with, you know, the sins, our own sins and all that. But I'm interested also in the institutional sins, you know, such as clericalism, homophobia, all that type of damage that we continue to do.
Okay. Are you on your own with this? Or is this a movement that's going on around the world? Or sorry, no, if I'm asking stupid questions, but this is fascinating.
Yeah. No, it's not around the world. This is my idea. This is a vision I had. Again, just cut me if I'm boring.
No, you're not at all.
I wrote a book, 2017, Why the Irish Church Deserves to Die. In the last few pages of it, I sort of hint at this idea of some prophetic sort of community. And Brendan, look, people, some people in here say, oh God, he's going to change the world. Not at all. This is meant to be a small little light in the Irish church that is signalling we have at times made a hames of things. And in making a hames of things, we have hurt people wholesale. Time now, get off the throne, get down on our knees, say sorry, and try and begin again. And what I'm trying to do, it's a small little light. It's not going to revolutionise the Irish church or anything like it. But it's my idea. I'm inspired. One of my big figures, one of my big heroes, along with people like Neil Young and Ronnie Reagan and others, is John the 23rd, Ron Cowley. Ron Cowley, like myself, he was a big fat fella, hardly able to get around. They made him Pope and they said he won't last a crack. Put him in, he'll be a caretaker. He revolutionised it. And he brought us the Second Vatican Council. Mm. And it's funny, you know, Brendan, today, this is the day when Father Enda McDonagh is being buried. He was the professor of moral theology in Maynooth. And Enda was one of those prophetic voices that really believed and lived in Vatican II, but we have very few of them. I could hardly name another one. And Enda died the other day at 90 years of age. But one of the things he said, John Bowman had a lovely clip this morning, and I was listening to it. And on Bowman's clip this morning, Enda said a very interesting thing, just a simple line. He said, there is no future for a church that doesn't take risks. And if I had any message, if I could get a message to the bishops, I'd say, please, please take risks for the people of faith in this country that need you to take risks. And putting it rather bluntly, for the love of Jesus, take risks.
Yeah. Now, you know what I think people will think is that you could come across a priest like you, and you actually come across a lot of priests who are men of what you might describe as men of joy. And men who are flesh and blood men, and men who are full of life and everything. And then you look at the church on the bigger scale and a bit joyless maybe and a bit not so full of life. Would that be fair?
Brendan, look, it's more than fair. Look, I agree with you. You're 100% correct. I know guys and my fellow priests and myself, I would like to think that I have some sense of joy. But in actual fact, when you get us collectively, we can be a joyless lot. You know, honest to God, like you'd swear it all ended in Good Friday. I see him shouting sometimes. He got up, but there was a resurrection, you know. Didn't all end. And that's interesting, Brendan, because during the pandemic, I did a couple of little experiments. I won't bore you with the detail, but just to say it, they were called experiments in hope. Do you know what I discovered, Brendan? That hope, which I would have thought was a very, very attractive commodity, it wasn't that popular. Wasn't that popular at all.
In what sense?
I found myself in groups, you know, different groups of people. So, and mostly by the nature of my working life, mostly people of faith or church people or whatever. And what struck me was this incredible desire to outdo each other with bad news. So one person would say, did you hear what happened the other day? Oh, yeah, God, he was only 33. He died within a few days. Oh, I can tell you better than that. I was talking to a nursing chief. Now, I know there was bad news. Of course there was bad news in the pandemic. Horrific, really sad news. But on a few occasions, I threw in what I call a little sprick, like a little tadpole of hope.
Yeah.
My God, Brendan, I can tell you. It ranged from, oh, for goodness sake, Father, come off. That's more now holy baloney. And then they turned it a few times at me and said, oh, typical you. You're the eternal optimist. Come off it. Face the real world. Don't be living pie in the sky when you die. I discovered hope. Hope was not that popular.
You see, and I'd say a lot of people would say, Joe, that it was a combination of when whatever we have at our genes as Irish people, a kind of a certain melancholy or whatever, and when that met an austere, judgmental, angry church, that's what kind of might have murdered people's capacity for hope.
Oh, but yep, yeah, but Brendan, look, I am. Completely, I stand with you in that. But you see, the sad thing about it is that experience, which you put your finger on, and is an authentic, you're naming a legitimate and authentic experience that so many people had in so many different ways. But the sad thing about that is when you get beyond us, when you get beyond the institution, when you get beyond what we did to it, we actually, the good news remains. Like the person of Jesus of Nazareth, we have done terrible things. We have obscured him. Yeah. Like, you know, it's funny how, and I think this is a very sad thing in a way, at times we preach about everything, including sexual morality. If we'd shut up more about sex and talk more about Jesus and talk more about the charismatic figure that we have in Jesus, that brings the joy.
Okay, and listen, Joe, I'm supposed to talk to you, but you're here to talk about something else, and I'm conscious that we've gone down a route we didn't expect to go down. One question before we finish that, and then we'll get on to what we're meant to be talking about. So do you see the future of the church then as a kind of a smaller but more committed kind of church? Is that what you think, that this massive worldwide institution will shrink down a bit to something more authentic maybe?
Yeah, I think worldwide it's different, Brendan, but if we talk about Irish church, yes, I think the Irish church as an institution is crumbling in front of us. And I think that what will emerge, I'm hopeful what will emerge, is smaller, leaner, but definitely more potent and more faith-filled. And hopefully, coming back to some of the stuff you have said, more inspiring and more joyful.
Okay, listen, that was a great bit of Sunday service. Now, the reason you're actually here, you're taking part in a new show on Virgin Media this week called Eating with the Enemy. Tell me about the show.
Well, I got the phone call. I said I liked the title. Very interesting. Went in, had not a notion who I was meeting. The whole idea is to put two people together coming from what they feel were, if you like, diametrically opposed places. But anyway, I was the one at the table. The other person was coming down the little ramp way into the restaurant. And all I could see was this blue dress, a very striking blue dress, and a rather curvaceous figure, if you're allowed to say that as a priest. It's too late now. Anyway, I've said it, curvaceous figure. And this lovely blonde hair.
Okay.
And then...
Okay, stop, the person, stop. Let's take a break and we'll meet the enemy after the break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.